This is an interview for the Shoe Workers Oral History Project. The date is January 17th, 2009, and I'm at the home of Bert. Can you pronounce your last name?
Matthew.
Yes. In Lewiston, Maine, and this is Andrea Lungier, and this is an oral history for Museum LA. Bert, could you just start by giving me your full name?
My full name is Bertrand David Matthew.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in 1922 on Reservoir Avenue in Lewiston.
And that is not too far from here?
I can see my home where I was born from here, about 600 feet away.
And we are on Webster Street right now.
We are on 391 Webster Street.
Yeah. And so, is this where you grew up, in the house on Reservoir?
All but 5 years when I was in the military.
So, talk to me about your family, and how many children were there?
Well, we were five children, two boys and three girls. The girls were all passed away. My brother still survives. He was 15 years younger than I am. My parents both died at the age of 85, so I guess longevity is in my life. And they all graduated high school, all but me. I quit school when I was 14 years of age. And I went to work in the shoe industry at that time, which is 1936. My first job was at where the back of Rams is today in Auburn. It was Venus Shoe and Lounge Shoe were there. I worked in both. Then when Lounge Shoe moved to where the barn is today in Auburn, then I was put on the machine for the first time because I was 16 years of age then.
You had to be 16 to be on a machine?
To be on a machine, I had to be 16 years of age. And when I started at the age of 14 at Venus, I was making a lot of money, 15 cents an hour.
And what were you doing for work?
Working all over the floor. Chasing around for different shoes, patch of shoes, whatever. And if I saw a machinist working somewhere in the machine, I'd sneak up and watch him to try and learn the trade, which I did. And in 1939, I joined the Maine National Guards, who in 1941, we were called into active duty, Maine Guards. We went to Camp Landing in Jacksonville, Florida. From there, we went to Camp Shelby, Mississippi. From there, I got transferred out to Camp Maxie, Texas, to the 32nd Cavalry Reconnaissance Squadron, which is where I finished my 4.5 years there. And last week, actually, was an anniversary in a way. 64 years ago, we were in the Battle of the Bulge. January 1st of 1945, is when Governor Patton, General Patton came up and freed us troops and we went back to Paris. That was my last day of combat, January 1, 1945. Good way to start the year. Yeah. From there, we went to Camp Lucky Strike in La Havre, France, where we got onto a troop ship, came home, and we got discharged on points, although the war was still going on. And from there, I went back to the shoe industry on my old job. But they took and made me a foreman, which was big money then, $1.25 an hour.
Was this at Lounge Shoe?
Lounge Shoe. Mm-hmm. While there, the company from Waltham, Mass. Approached me. They wanted me to go on the road for them as a salesman and instructor. Compo Shoe Machinery is where I worked for 42 years. I was a district manager for the state of Maine. I had 14 men under my wing, servicing shoe machinery in all the factories in the state, which at that time was 183 shoe factories. Mm. And they depleted pretty fast.
So there were 183?
When I started in 1947. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went down great fast. And then from there, and of course, I got married in 1946. I had two girls. They're both nurses. The pictures are there. And of course, my first wife for 51 years passed away in 1997. I remarried a young lady from across the street who was a widow. That lasted about 6 years. She too passed away. She passed away in 2004. But my career has been in the shoe industry. But from 1949 until I turned 80, I also repaired televisions on the side. And that was, I paid the girls schooling. Other than that, there's not much else to say.
Well, tell me about your, what did they ever, I mean, you went to war and you came back and you became a foreman. How did you become a foreman so quickly?
He was watching me going around. If an operator's machine would break down, I would go to the operator and fix it for him. And they noticed that I was operating all the machines as I fixed them. So they said, well, heck, if I can operate them, I can also teach. And this is how the company from Waltham came to hire me. Mm-hmm. The name of the company was Compo Shoe Machinery from Waltham, Mass.
And would you go around to all the different shoe shops to fix things?
In the state of Maine, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then I was put in charge of the Maine office, which actually was right off Canal Street, when the Hill Mill, there's a little building in the courtyard there, right in front of where Museum LA used to be upstairs.
Yes.
But that little building there, if you see pictures there, you'll see my sign, Compo Shoe Machinery.
Oh.
And the pictures at Museum LA, I've seen it there. And that was a pretty good job. I had 14 men reporting to me. Some lived in Kennebunkport, one lived in Sanford, one in Winterport, one in Belfast, I had one in Old Town. These men all reported to me by phone.
And so they were distributed around the state geographically.
And they would report to me, and the manufacturers would call them. And if they couldn't be satisfied from their work, then they would call me. Mm-hmm. Then I would shoot up and see if I could work with them. It was my job to train. Some of them taught me a lot. I learned from them.
Yeah.
But it was a good career. A lot of people used to turn their nose down at the shoe industry. They call it the... as low as you could go, actually. To me, it was good. Mm-hmm. I had no education. I quit school and started the eighth grade, and that was it. Never graduated. My education's been that big dictionary right there. Every time I'd hear a word, I would look it up. And also listening to people speak. This company I worked for had the best chemists in the world, because in the shoe industry, there are a lot of toxic chemicals. And these chemists would come down to help with problems, and I'd be right with them. I would ask them questions, they would give me the answers I wanted, so I learned. Mechanics were the same way, the electricians. In time, I became a licensed electrician because of their help, which was good. Because I built my first home because of the knowledge I had down below, and I built this one in 62, where I am today. And also, in the chair where you are now sitting, in the evenings, there's another young lady that sits there. She's quite a bit older than you, but a bit younger than I. And we get along famously together.
Wonderful.
We love to sing and dance and music.
Yeah.
So I've had a good career, a good life. I married two beautiful women, beautiful inside and out. And this young lady I'm with now is the same way. And I am reaching, I'll be 87 in 2 weeks. As I say, I've had a terrific life. My health is good. I have two steel knees and a steel shoulder, but other than that, it's okay. The steel knees dance well. That's all that matters.
Tell me how the downturn in the shoe industry affected your job. Did you? You must have
back
seen
in,
it.
Yeah, 1979 already, the gentleman who owned Compo Shoe Machinery, which was started by his grandfather in 1902. Mm-hmm. Then his father took it over and passed on to him. And he started to notice a decline in these factories. They were going overseas. And the first ones that went overseas started under the Reagan program, President Reagan. And every year that we'd lose two or three, Pennsylvania, we'd lose some, Texas lost a lot. Arkansas lost all their shoe factories overseas. And I always kept going down also. The ones that stayed with us through the end was Old Town Shoe, New Balance, which is still in Skowhegan, Norwich Walk in Norway. They're still here. And of course we had the Edmund Ellens, where the chicken factory was. They're still here, but they're leaving sometimes within the next 3 months. We also have Falcon Shoe in the Old Connell Mill, and they're leaving this year.
They are.
They've already started to ship machinery out. This will be the end of Lewiston and Auburn area, or the state of Maine, other than New Balance. Well, going back to Henry Hardy, in 1983, he noticed it was going real bad. Then the first of 84, his machinists, who were all making big money, said, we're going on strike. He told them, he said, you go on strike and I padlock the door. So they accepted the union, they did go on strike. So they said, we now strike and here's what we want. He said, I hold the key in my hands and I'm locking the doors. This is the end of Compo Shoe, which started in 1902. He locked the door April 30th, 1984. I was 62, retirement age. So I went out, I retired, early retirement. But they were good to me. They kept me in a company car till I turned 65. And they kept me in, on the Blue Cross and Shield insurance till I turned 65. So they were good to me. But that was the reason for it. Factories are going down fast. Plus, when they brought in the union, they finished it for us at Compo. United Shoe Machinery, which were bigger than us, they went out before we did because they knew it was coming. I have worked in the shoe business in a way. I worked for Pamco Shoe Machinery after I retired. They're in Railroad Park.
Okay.
Where LA Museum would be right in back of there in a new building pretty quick. And I worked there 11 years at part-time in the machine shop. And he still supplies to all the machinery overseas. The Dominican Republic, China, Japan, you name them, their factories are there. And he still supplies them. He is now the biggest, I believe, in the United States, selling used machine parts to the shoe industry. He rebuilds machinery, sells them as reconditioned. He's doing very well. He employs 14 men right here in Lewiston.
And what's his name?
Morris Cody. The company is Pamco Shoe Machinery.
Yeah.
Very nice kid. He's young. As compared to me, he's young. He's 57.
So that piece of the industry survives.
It's still going to be there for a long while.
Yeah.
Because these factories overseas need the parts. But what Bush started to do, but didn't finish, I wish he had. He was going to start charging the manufacturers on the income, the taxes for bringing the shoes into the States. He's going to charge them more royalty. He never followed through. Mm. If someone would tell them you have to pay more, they would start coming back.
Yeah.
And that's what someone has to do. He would bring a lot more jobs. And believe me, in Maine, a lot of shoe factory jobs could be filled easily because they're all shoemakers. And we could probably train some of these Samoans to be shoemakers, I don't know. But there's a lot of people. Shoes, well, I just bought some shoes by mail, the ones I'm wearing now. They come from Japan.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, a lot of the hand sewers are getting older.
And they're all gone.
And how, you know, how are we going to, how will a new generation know?
To retrain new people. And the new people, a lot of them, just not interested in learning anything new. All they can think of is being programmers for computers and stuff. That's all they want to do. If you notice, you don't have no TV on here. Mm-hmm. You don't see no computer. I had my cable disconnected. I don't watch TV. To me, it's a waste of time. I'd rather be working with my hands. And I do a lot of work with my hands.
Now, what do you do? Do you have hobbies?
Well, that lighthouse up there, I built 10 of those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they all light up and they go around. I have bird houses and I build a lot of them. I've been giving them away to get rid of them right now. You need a bird house, I'll give you one. I'm trying to get rid of some.
Yeah.
No, I build anything out of wood. towel racks, or paper towel dispensers that you put your paper towel on. You name it, I would not make it.
It sounds like you were just very naturally talented in terms of building and mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did anybody?
Yeah, anything breaks, I fix it.
Yeah. Did anybody teach you the mechanic,
no,
or you just self-learned?
Just Snoopy. Yeah, and I've been lucky. A lot of people would say, "Well, hell, I went the hard way. You go out and learn the hard way." But no, they answered my questions, and I learned. Yeah. As I say, to be an electrician, you have to know more than what I learned in school. But I learned from the electricians, the engineers from Compo Industry. Then I went to Augusta to apply for my license, and no problem, I got it right away. So I had the ability to learn. Mm-hmm. Today I don't. I don't retain what I read anymore. I'm too old. What I used to read once, I have to read 10 times to retain it now. Yeah. But as we get old, things change.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything I haven't asked you about your time in the shoe industry that you think is important to add?
No, in the shoe industry, a lot of people are not aware or don't even think they were getting this. We had very good medical insurances, the employees all over. The first one to bring that in was Shapiro Brothers Shoe Company. They were in the building where Denny's, a restaurant, is today.
Yeah.
That's where they were. And Arthur Shapiro said, "I'm going to take care of my help." He brought in the I forget the name of the insurance outfit. They were from Augusta. But then the people were well taken care of medically.
Mm-hmm.
He had no insurance for death. No, that was another thing. Then Lao Chu, Phil Lam, was very good also. He brought in the good insurance, who used to be my boss originally, years ago. Now Phil Lam and Harold Alphonse and Dexter Factories.
Right.
They gave out a lot to the industry, colleges and stuff. Harold Alphon actually almost built Maine, University of Maine in Orono. Phil Long gave thousands and thousands of dollars to Bates College. His two boys were there, of course, that's the reason for it. And of course, Phil Long's brother, we just named a bridge after him, Dr. Long.
Oh, and they were brothers.
They were all in the shoe industry. They were good, very good. In my case, when my girls were in nursing school, they had to have nurses' shoes. I never had to buy any. They were made for me by Belgrade Shoe Company. Used to be on Hotel Road in Auburn. That's gone. And of course, I never bought shoes for myself or any member of my family anyway. The last 2 years, I've had to buy some, darn it.
Yeah.
No, the shoe industry has been very good. It's been good for the city of Olson and Auburn. Off by the state of Maine, yeah. But imports, that's what killed us. Yeah. And would I go back to the shoe industry, knowing what I know today? Yes, I would go back.
You liked it.
It was challenging.
Yeah.
A lot of them just stayed at one machine day in and day out. I wanted to roam. I went to different machines. I learned everything. Everything but stitching, that there was out of my department. I like to stitch stuff in my machine downstairs, but not in the shoe industry. Although I used to go in there to help them fix some machines. But. And Lao Chu was good to me in this respect. They let me travel all through the factory when I came back from the service to learn whatever I wanted to learn. No, I would go back to the industry today if they needed help. At my age, I would go back.
Well, great. Thank you so much.